This evening's reading is 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're reading the whole chapter. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honour and might for ever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves, as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Well, thank you to everyone who's helped in the service this evening. And thank you to Spence for leading. This evening we come to the last two verses of Paul's first letter to Timothy, Paul's missionary co-worker friend. And it kind of fits nicely because tonight is also my last sermon as assistant pastor here at Emmanuel. And it is a bit of a bittersweet. We're so looking forward to starting our new ministry in Dorset. And the folks at Verwood Road Evangelical Chapel have already been so welcoming and good to us. But we're also really sad to say goodbye to our Emmanuel family. Thank you so much for blessing us over the last 3 years with all your kindness, generosity, love and support. We will miss Emmanuel very, very much and will cherish fond memories of serving together for the cause of Christ. And a huge thank you so much for the generous gifts and amazing, humbling words in the book that you put together for us. Thank you so much. I had to stop reading the book to wipe away some allergy-induced tears, and I'll probably have to read the book in installments. We do expect and look forward to visits. At home group on Thursday, we described it as family that have just moved away. And that's a great picture, because family stays in contact, maybe not regularly, but we do stay in contact. This evening, I want to steal Paul's final words to Timothy and make them my final words to you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. And grace be with you all. And we'll look at those verses in a moment. But have you thought how you'd summarize the book of 1 Timothy? If someone came to you and asked you, you've been studying 1 Timothy in the evenings at church, what is the message of 1 Timothy? What's it all about? I wonder what you would answer. Well, a good place to start would probably be 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, where Paul says this: although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. See, Paul wants the church to know how they are to conduct themselves, because they are the pillar and foundation of the truth. As part of God's church, God's household, they are to hold out and up the gospel. It's like the church. Remember, when we think church, we must think of the people, that's us. We don't think the building or the bricks. See, we are the church. It's like the church is a display cabinet displaying the gospel truth. See, outsiders look at the truth of the gospel and they can see its beauty amplified or dulled by the display cabinet. See, if the cabinet is dirty and grubby and poorly lit, then the gospel itself is dulled. But the church is to be the pillar and foundation of the truth, holding up the truth for all to see, and a solid foundation from which the gospel can be proclaimed. See, Paul wants the church to know how to conduct themselves because they are the pillar and foundation of the truth. See, that's a good summary sentence for 1 Timothy. Paul wants the church to know how to conduct themselves because they are the pillar and foundation of the truth. The word reputation might be a good summary word for the book. See, individual church members must watch their reputation through godly conduct. That goes for the men and the women, and especially the church leaders. They must watch their reputation because their reputation reflects on the reputation of the church, which in turn reflects on the reputation of the truth, which in turn reflects on the reputation of God. See, the church has a high calling, a huge privilege, but also an enormous responsibility. And Paul draws all this together quite neatly in his last two verses with these two commands: guard the gospel and avoid error. And they're really two sides of the same coin. Let's think about the first, shall we? Guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. Paul says in verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted in your care. Remember, the why Paul writes this letter to Timothy, his intention is always that the church is reading over his shoulder, seeing what Paul is writing to Timothy. And God's plan is that it was written for us as well today and every age. But here Paul speaks directly to Timothy. Timothy, he says. And even though this is true, it still is every bit relevant to us today. What Paul speaks to Timothy, God speaks to us today. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. And what is it that has been entrusted to Timothy? Well, it's the gospel. And that gospel was entrusted to Paul as well. See, take a look back at the first chapter of this letter in verse 11. Paul writes, the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. See, both men are entrusted with a gospel message, which is the context of this letter, or which in the context of this letter isn't just a message, but it's also the outworking of that message in the lives of believers through their godliness. In 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote this just a few pages over. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Guard the good deposit. That is the gospel. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. In the 5th century, St. Leo made a great comment about this charge to guard the deposit. He had this to say, what is meant by the deposit? That which is committed to thee, not that which is invented by thee. That which thou hast received, not that which thou hast devised. A thing not of wit, but of learning, not of private assumption, but of public tradition. A thing brought to thee, not brought forth of thee, wherein thou must not be an author, but a keeper, not a leader, but a follower. Keep the deposit. This explains the essential work of the church and its leadership today and every day. It's not responsible to do new theology, but to guard the apostolic gospel. Don't change it. That only dilutes it and robs it of its power. And notice also that we don't guard it alone. We guard it with the Holy Spirit's help who lives in us. This gospel is a great treasure, and it leads to further treasures as people hear this message and embrace it and are transformed. It's because this gospel is so very valuable that Paul calls for Timothy and for us to guard it. See, imagine if you were entrusted with the care of your neighbor's property while they were away on holiday. You would do all you could to prevent a burglar from breaking in and robbing them, wouldn't you? And so Timothy is to guard the gospel. He is to guard the gospel from those who want to take away its treasure. See, through the teaching of the false teachers, the family of God have been, as we're told in chapter 6, verse 5, robbed of the truth. But Timothy is to do everything he can to stop it happening while he is in charge. In fact, chapter 1 tells us that that's exactly why Timothy was left in Ephesus. Paul had already warned the church leaders at Ephesus in Acts 20 to be on their guard against savage wolves who wanted to harm God's people. Paul said this, I'll read it. If you're very quick, you can turn there to Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Paul said this, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And so clearly they didn't listen to Paul's message. And so now it's become Timothy's job to guard the gospel treasure against further attacks. See, friends, if we are part of God's household, if we are part of the church, then the baton falls to us to guard the gospel too. See, the treasure of the gospel is entrusted to our care. My boys like to do this thing where they take a sweet wrapper and instead of throwing it away themselves, they put it in one of their brother's pockets. And then it becomes the receiver's task to throw it away responsibly. More often than not, the wrapper just ends up on the floor and the perpetrator ends up having to pick it up themselves anyway. See, we can't do that with the gospel. It's entrusted to our care. It's not just a wooden baton handed over in a relay race at the Olympics, but the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he himself has given to us. He entrusts us with his gospel. His glorious gospel is entrusted to us. See, if God stooped down, looked you in the eyes and said, please take care of and guard this for me, surely you would do everything, absolutely everything in your power to guard it. The thing is, he has done that. God is asking us to guard his gospel. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. And so what we say and what we do matters. It really does matter. We have God's reputation to uphold here on earth. To our friends, family, neighbors, and work colleagues and friends at school. The chief end of man, we're told, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, we glorify him not limited to, but by guarding the gospel. See, guard the gospel by living out the gospel in your life and proclaiming gospel truth. Don't put up with false teaching. And so Emmanuel Church, guard what has been entrusted to your care. If you're watching from another church, guard the gospel. God has entrusted it to you. You and the church are the pillar and foundation of the truth, entrusted with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's an amazing privilege and responsibility. And the flip side of guarding the gospel which has been entrusted to us is to avoid error. Avoid error. Guard the gospel and dodge error. Avoid the path of the false teachers. The false teachers had turned away from the words of Jesus and had embraced godless chatter, majoring on minor issues and so-called knowledge. But these were leading people to wander from the faith. They were wandering from the faith as opposed to holding on to life. Look back at verse 12. Fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And verse 19. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of that life that is truly life. You see, instead of holding on to life, we have this image of letting go and of wandering off the path. Letting go is a reflex action. When the going gets tough, we let go. It's like when someone wearing oven gloves passes you a hot dish and you're not wearing oven gloves. Your immediate response? It's to let go, isn't it? And the meal is ruined. See, we need to train ourselves so that our reflex isn't to let go, but to hold tighter, to take hold of eternal life. Cling to Jesus. Cling to him. The amazing thing is that as we cling to Jesus, God secures us with his right hand. In one of Paul White's Jungle Doctor fables, a young antelope falls into a hunter's trap and is unable to get out himself. Elephant, though, comes to rescue him. Elephant tells his young friend to reach up and that he will grab him with his trunk. But I can't hold on, says the despairing antelope. You don't hold on to me. I will hold on to you. Look into my eyes. Trust me. I will save you, elephant says to the antelope. We hold on by looking into the eyes of our glorious, wonderful, loving Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's how we hold on. Maintaining the truth requires exposing the errors and avoiding them. Take a look at verse 20, halfway through. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Turn away, avoid, dodge godless chatter, opposing ideas, and false knowledge. Duck and dive like a game of dodgeball. See, false teaching will fly at us like savage dodgeballs being thrown at us by Jofra Archer. And during his 10-day self-isolation for breaking the English cricket team's bubble, he'll have plenty of time to be throwing things. Archer bowls a cricket ball at over 96 miles an hour. Imagine the damage that could do. Or you don't need to imagine it. You can ask the Australian batsman Steve Smith. He knows, but thankfully he's wearing a helmet. We need to avoid error because the danger is much worse than any cricket ball. Error causes people to depart from the faith, to wander away. If we don't turn away from error, we just continue to it. But we're to turn away, make a U-turn, even if you have to do a 10-point turn. Turn away from error and to the truth. God, the truth. We must see how important it is for us to guard the truth and to avoid error. Souls, people's eternal souls, your eternal soul is at stake. Remember, God's household, that's us. Remember that we are the what and the what of the truth? We are the pillar and foundation of the truth. The amazing reality is that the truth is built on us and we must guard it. See, Timothy has been instructed the whole way through this letter to guard the gospel. In chapter 1, he is told to stop others from teaching different doctrine. He's told to hold on to the faith and a good conscience. In chapter 3, he's told to appoint elders who can teach the word. In chapter 4, he's told to devote himself to the public reading of scripture, exhortation, and teaching. In chapter 4, he's also told to keep watch on himself and his teaching. In chapter 6, he's told to fight the good fight and to keep the commandment without failure or fault. And so right here, at the very end of the letter, Paul gives us a summary of this theme. Guard and avoid. Guard the gospel, don't embellish it. Avoid it. Avoid error. Avoid error. Don't entertain error. Guard the gospel. Don't embellish it. And he reinforces the urgency of Timothy's and our role. I read this great line somewhere about how we must guard the gospel. It said this: we have received gold, and we must render gold. Chrysostom said, it's not thine, it is another's property with which thou hast been entrusted. Diminish it not at all. And so Paul's final words in his letter is to commit the whole church family, including Timothy, to God's grace. And so Paul concludes with a fitting and much needed prayer for his protege as Timothy faces the joys and challenges of living out the gospel, of guarding the gospel, of avoiding error, of being the pillar and truth, the pillar and foundation of truth. It's a reminder that we don't guard in our own strength, but in the strength given to us by the Holy Spirit. He prays the last sentence of his letter for those in Ephesus. He says, grace be with you all. It's similar to the words Paul spoke as he said goodbye to the Ephesian leaders back in Acts 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. And then he says these words, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. By grace, an inheritance is available to the church through the work of the crucified yet returning Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace continues to overflow to us abundantly. That is great news, news we all need. If you don't yet know Jesus, listen to this news. He has grace abundantly for you. He will forgive you and he will save you. See, that is the greatest news. The gospel truth is that we have a Savior who loves us, who wants to save us and redeem us and make us his own. Guard that truth. Avoid all other error, all other teaching. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Hear my last words to you. Guard the gospel. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Grace be with you all.